Okay, so we're continuing chapter 41, hope, and we have spoke about the idea how the fear and love of Hashem, which is the emotion that we do the mitzvahs, are the wings that cause the mitzvah to elevate, to fly up, so to speak, to the source, to the divine sources of energy that is powered by the each mitzvah powers. You want to use the analogy of a piano. You're hitting the piano keys, and you're not making any sound. Why are you not making any sound? Because when you open up the top of the piano, you see that the key, which is supposed to be connected to a spring, to another spring and another lever, and eventually hit a hammer that may cause a hammer to hit the strings. Well, there's something missing. It's cut off. It's not connected. So you're pushing on the piano keys and your thing. You're pushing on your computer, on the keys of your telephone, and you're not getting any message. Why are you not getting a message? Because you're not connected. So when it comes to doing mitzvahs, Hashem obviously is not limited by our lack of connection. Hashem understands and sees what we're trying to do. But so we get reward for the mitzvahs, but it's not the same reward, the Zohar explains to us, as if we're doing the mitzvahs with the right emotional and mental attitude. And the reason we explained is because Hashem doesn't need us to do mitzvahs. Hashem doesn't require any servicing of any kind. And the only reason that we're doing mitzvahs is because Hashem wants a relationship. It's like giving a present, we used to explain in the past, to a rich friend who doesn't need your money. But the reason you're giving the present is because you want to have friendship. You want to show that you care, you love them, you care for them, you're ready to go out of your way and so on for them. So if you're not actually doing it in an emotional way, you're just simply mechanically giving the present, then you haven't accomplished the friendship. You haven't accomplished what you're trying to accomplish. So it's clear and it's understandable and it's logical on many different levels that when Hashem, who was the source of all wealth, the richest entity possible only to imagine, the creator of everything, doesn't require and need us to do anything. And the only reason we're told to do mitzvahs is because Hashem wants to see, are we going to choose and use our energies wisely and worship Hashem in the right way? Or are we going to be self-centered and self-focused and internally focused? And therefore, obviously, we need to have this attitude. Now, in the language of the meaning love Hashem, fear Hashem, not just through the mitzvahs mechanically. In the language of the Zohar explained to us, and we spoke about this many times in the past, that there are four major levels of Hashem's energy that comes down to the world. We call them four worlds, actually four stages. The world of Atzilus is the highest one, then goes Bria, then goes Yetzirah, then goes Asiya. And depending on how we do the mitzvah and depending on the level of intensity with which we have been doing the mitzvah, that's how high our action can reach and draw down energy from higher and higher sources. We explain that the worlds of, for example, the worlds of Bria and the worlds of Yetzirah are depending if we're doing the mitzvah mechanically or if we're doing the mitzvah with inborn natural state of love for Hashem, or a love for Hashem that comes from intellectual comprehension and study and preparation, which is much higher, much deeper than just the natural instinct of a Jew. You reach a higher level with an intellectual love of Hashem, intellectual motivation, not just an emotional motivation. These are all concepts that we spoke about in the past. So let's talk about now and try to get through this these concepts here of chapter 41. So chapter 41, we said that even though in the past we spoke about and we mentioned all of these, the importance of the emotional state of mind, the emotional state of heart and state of mind by doing the mitzvah, one must, however, constantly bear in mind that the core and the root is not our love and our fear of Hashem. The core and the root is what's called in Hebrew Kabbalah's all, which is accepting the yoke of heaven. And this, again, is logical when you think about it. See, Tanya is, the Rebbe is explaining to us.
Rebbe, I'm sorry, the core of what?
The core and the root of doing the mitzvahs is not because we love God, not because we fear God. That's not the base motivation. That's not the initial motivation. The initial motivation to properly do a mitzvah is because we are accepting the yoke of heaven. We're accepting our job. We're saying, yes, we are soldiers. So again, we spoke about this difference of analogy. You could say, why am I showing up to the party? Why am I going to help my friend do whatever it is? Why am I a parent helping my child, waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning to, as a, let's say, as a mother to nurse the kid or for whatever reason, why am I doing this for this other person? So you say, well, because I love them. I love them. And I couldn't bear the thought that the party would happen without me being there. I love them. I couldn't bear the thought of me being separated from this individual for 5 minutes. Of course, I'm going to show up and do whatever. I couldn't bear the thought of them having this issue in their life and not me not being there. So at the end of the day, when you say, I love them, it means it's about you. It's about your emotions, about your feeling. If you didn't feel good, if you didn't feel some sense of euphoria, connectedness, some emotional something, then you wouldn't say I love the person. Then you say I hate the person, and you say I'm disinterested. I could care less. You're not motivated to help somebody who's not in your collection of friends who you love, or child, or spouse, or parent, or whatever it is who you love. So clearly, when you say I love you selflessly, that's simply untrue. Simply untrue. It's in fact, it's pretty much impossible to love somebody selflessly. You love somebody because it makes you feel good, plain and simple. Parenthetically, and just to, not to digress, Alfred Eber did explain to us way back in chapter 32 that when we love Hashem, it is possible to love Hashem selflessly. And we're going to talk about this later on in chapters 42 and 43 as we get past these concepts. What does it mean to have a selfless love for Hashem? And how is that possible even to have a selfless love if every love is motivated by a feeling that the individual has of feeling good? That's what love means. Love means not that I love you. Love means I love me. And I love me, meaning I feel so good when I do this for you that I love you. That's essentially what it means. If not, it doesn't think about it for a moment. And fear is the same thing. Fear means I'm afraid of something bad happening to me. Either a punishment, that's very low level, or I'm afraid of being embarrassed that I'm not going to be living up to your expectations of me. But again, if I don't care, if let's say, for example, I know that you're too weak to punish me, you're too weak to start up with me, or I don't care what you think about me, then I'm not afraid of you, plain and simple. So parent-child-parent relationship, let's say, for example, when a child at young age says, I'm afraid of the punishment. I don't want to be, lose my game. I don't want to lose my free time. I don't want to not go on the trip. I don't want to be stuck in my room. I don't want to lose my allowance. But you get a little older and you say, I don't need my parents' money anymore. So what are you afraid of? And now you're afraid that I don't want my parents to look bad at me. I don't want my parents to think bad of me. I don't want to disappoint my parents. Well, let's assume you have a rebellious kid who doesn't care what the parents think. Then you have problems on your hands. Then the kid's not afraid of you anymore. And the same is true of our relationship with Hashem. If we don't care what Hashem thinks, we don't believe that there's any kind of somebody on the other side of the equation, or we don't care or think we're above it, then it's a problem. But at the end of the day, fear and love are both emotions that are motivated by us and by our need to be at a certain level of self-comfort in our own mind. It's just the way it is when you think about fear and love. They're not selfless as much as people would say would make it out to be. It's just simply not true. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says that the highest level of fear and the highest level of love that is attainable in the ordinary state. And we're going to be talking later, again, as I said, in chapter 43, 44, and further, about really intense levels of service of Hashem that are fear and love that are, in fact, selfless. And Alter Rebbe will explain this to us and what these levels mean and so on. But at any rate, for an ordinary, normal Jew who's not a great tzaddik, who is serving Hashem, worshiping God because they love God, because of the source of my energy, the creator of the world, etc. It's about us. It's about what we get out of the equation. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe says that the initial motivation, if it's about your feeling good for serving Hashem, it's wrong. Then it's about yourself. Then you're not serving God. Worshiping God means you're a soldier in the army. It means that you are absolutely negating yourself. It's not about yourself, it's about Hashem. And therefore, this concept of Kabbalas Ol, meaning accepting the yoke of heaven, is the should has to be the root. It has to be the bedrock. It has to be the foundational attitude that a person has when doing a mitzvah. As a matter of fact, the word mitzvah means a commandment. So, and again, we don't have this analogy today of kings and soldiers in the army. We don't really, even soldiers in the army are not, completely, self-negation to the general in the way he used to be. It used to be the army of the czar, the army of the king. You were a soldier, the king had to ride his horse across the bridge. The soldier was ready to become the human bridge and give up his life and jump in the water and all kinds of stories. We don't really have that today. So we're living a very selfish world. Sometimes it's good and sometimes it's bad. But at any rate, we don't have these analogies readily available to us. Total self-abnegation, self-sacrifice, total nothing about myself. But that's what the word mitzvah means. The word mitzvah doesn't mean good deed. Ma'asim tovim means good deeds. Ma'asim tovim, good deeds. But mitzvah means commandment. It means that we approach the action of doing whatever it is that the Torah says we should be doing, that Hashem asks of, that God asks of us. We approach it in a way of a total self-abnegation, a total self lack of self. We are here. Hashem says, "You do, I do. I'm a robot. I'm simply an extension. It's not about me. It's not about my feelings. It's not about my emotions." In spite of the fact that we said that without the right feelings, right emotions, you're not going to get the right reward. But the motivational force, meaning what is the urge, what is the push to do the mitzvah? The push has to be because I feel Hashem is my boss, plain and simple. Hashem is my king. This is what we're talking about here. In order to arouse with himself the latter category of fear, should contemplate the greatness of the blessed Ein Sof, which extends to all the worlds, and further consider that Hashem gives life to the worlds in such a unique way. Hashem is known as the king. And therefore, you accept the kingship of God upon yourself, and you will therefore serve the king in all kinds of servile work. And in fact, the person should always feel that Hashem is looking at you, because in fact, Hashem is looking at you. And is every instant and every moment of every minute, of every hour, of every day, is checking you out. Are you worshiping? Are you doing the right thing or not the right thing? And therefore, a person must be in a God's presence. We're always in Hashem's presence. Hashem is always looking at us. So if we were to stand in front of an ordinary king, our knees would be knocking, our teeth would be chattering, we'd be trembling, because at any given moment, the king could get angry at us and off with our heads, God forbid. If it was a real king of that kind of king, we would be trembling. So how much more so should we be trembling, so to speak, internally, obviously, when we are meditating and thinking about the idea that Hashem is looking at us, the king of all kings, the creator of all things in the world. And therefore, if a person meditates profoundly at length in this concept, you will therefore, and especially El Rebbe says, before studying Torah, before doing any mitzvah, for example, before putting on talis tefillah, any mitzvah that it is, we should meditate and we should understand to ourselves, at least for the moment, that what is motivating us through the mitzvah is the fact that God is asking us. It's not about us. It's not about what we're getting out of it. Yes, it's true, the mitzvahs are so sweet. Yes, it's true, they're so elevating. Yes, it's true, they're so ennobling. Yes, it's true, it makes us feel so amazing. And there's all kinds of side benefits. But that's not why we're doing it. We're doing the mitzvah because we are servants of the king. This is called, again, in Hebrew, Kabbalat Ol, or in Yiddish we say Kabbalas Ol, which means accepting the yoke of heaven. And that is the motivational beginning of all the mitzvahs. Now, the Rebbe actually goes on to say, that when a person should do a specific mitzvah, each specific mitzvah that we do is bringing down another type of connection. So it's totally fine, El Rebbe says, and it's actually the right thing to do, to think about what the specific mitzvah accomplishes by way of connection to Hashem. So, for example, the Alter Rebbe says a guy puts on tefillin, there's a certain type of connection. Keeping Shabbos, keeping kosher, whatever mitzvah we do is another kind of connection. And let's go a little further, because we have spoken about this in the past. On the other hand, the Alter Rebbe says, if a person does not have So now let's talk about the other side of the equation. When you study Torah or the commandment, and you're doing it because of the heavenly yoke, then this is and like a servant who serves his master. This is good. But if a person studies Torah and performs the commandment with love alone, that means my motivation for doing this mitzvah is not because I'm a servant of Hashem. My motivation for serving them, for doing the mitzvah, is because I feel great. It makes me feel so wonderful. God is the most incredibly powerful entity and that could only be imagined. And if I do a mitzvah, I connect myself to Hashem, and therefore I want to do the mitzvah. That's love in order to cleave to Hashem through the study of Torah. Then it's not the service of a servant. And the Torah says, so it's a wonderful reason for doing a mitzvah, which is because you love God, because you're getting some emotional high out of doing a mitzvah. You feel wonderful. But then you're not worshiping Hashem. You're not a servant. It says in the language in the Hebrew, V'avatem et Hashem Elokechem, you should serve Hashem. And that is just like an ox, the Zohar says, on which one places the yoke. So too, a human being must submit to the yoke of the kingdom of heaven and only afterwards engage in divine service. So anyway, as we're saying, this is the foundational motivation. After you have this foundational motivation, then you can introduce after that emotions and intellect and so on. So this is that the two are not contradictory. The Rebbe goes on to say that although we may find the son who is also a servant, in the language of the Kabbalists, when we talk about worshiping God the way a child-parent has a relationship, child-parent relationship is different than a king-servant or a king-slave relationship. So a king-slave relationship, the slave, the servant, even the highest minister, if it's a really a real powerful king who can has power of life and death in an instant, by anything the king says, that relationship is not an emotional kind of relationship. It's total subservience. Whereas a child-parent relationship, even though you go out of your way, and even though you do everything and you are working to the last bit of your energy to take care of your parent, it's based on emotion. It's based on love. It's based on connection. It's based on, I am part of my parent. It's a different relationship. The Torah demands both from us, but as a motivational, we start with the king-servant relationship. And the Alter Rebbe says, you may find great tzaddikim who have this the relationship of closeness also, but it's not the same. It's not simple. It's not easy to attain. At any rate, we're now going to go, and the point of Tanya in general is to teach us how to do mitzvahs in the most perfect way possible. Tanya is not a code of Jewish law to tell us what the mitzvahs are. The Alter Rebbe and Tanya wrote the book in order to teach us how to have our heads screwed on straight, how to have our attitudes correct. And when you have your attitudes correct, of course, everything flows from that. So that's what we're talking about here. So the attitude has to start with service of Hashem, because God is the boss, plain and simple. God is the king. And Alter Rebbe says, if a person thinks that Hashem is looking at you every moment of the day, then in the language of Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai in the Talmud, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, one of the great, great sages of the Gemara of the Talmud, says, I wish you upon you, my dear students, he says, that you should have as much fear of God as you have fear of what people think of you. If you would only be as afraid of what Hashem thinks of you as you are of what people will say about you, then you would always act the right way. Now, it doesn't mean his students didn't act the right way. They were great, great, great students. They were great, great people in and of themselves. But what we see from this is that there is an analogy. There is a parallel way of understanding. The fear of Hashem is because Hashem is looking at us all the time. And the disciple protested no more than this. He responded that this is a true form of fear. When a person commits a sin, he says to himself, may no one see me. So Rabbi Yochanan said, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai said, if you have this level of a relationship with Hashem, then you will never do anything wrong. If you always are able to keep foremost in your mind, at this moment, Hashem is looking at me. What's he going to think if I do this thing? Person will always act correctly. This, however, is called the lower level of fear. It's called the fear of sin. It is a lower level of fear. It's a fear of transgressing. It's not a fear of Hashem. So there's two levels, Alter Rebbe explains to us, of having yiras Hashem. Yiras Hashem means fear of heaven. First level is, I'm afraid of messing up. I'm afraid of doing the wrong thing. Why am I afraid of doing the wrong thing? Because I don't want to get punished, a lower level, or a higher level, because I don't want that Hashem should think of me as an imperfect person. That's fear of the sin, fear of the act. What about a higher level of fear? A higher level of fear is a fear of Hashem. That means now it's not fear anymore. Now we would change in English. We would not call it fear. We would call it awe. A person is overawed in Hashem's presence. The higher level of fear is that I'm so inadequate when it comes to what Hashem, compared to the source of my energy, which is Hashem, the creator. I, as a human being, how could I even think about anything of myself if I'm standing in the presence of the source of my energy? Like a person says, how could I think about, I have all these things to do, but I'm in the presence of this great, great, great person who I have incredible respect for. You don't think about anything of your own. All you think about is, what is this? Let me take every moment that I'm here and try to soak up every minute. You don't think about the stuff that you have left on your to-do list and this and that. In that moment, you're completely focused. And this is the higher level of fear. However, as we said previously, without any fear at all, even the lowest level of fear, the Torah does not soar and high. Through love alone, meaning that loving Hashem itself is not enough to cause the mitzvahs to go to where they need to go to bring down the right amount of energy. Because there are two wings, a bird cannot fly with one wing. So too, we have to have a balanced attitude. The balanced attitude has to be, we're doing the mitzvah initially because we are servants of Hashem. So that's why we are soldiers in an army. But once that motivates us to the mitzvah, then we have to think about Hashem is watching us, and we don't want to have Hashem get disappointed in how we're doing and what we're doing. And at the end of the day, why does all this matter to me? Because I love Hashem, because I love God. I want him to be happy. Not for me, but for Hashem. I want God to be happy. Hashem created me and created the world. And so we have a balanced emotion. If a person is acting only on love, then it's about yourself. If a person is acting only with fear of God, then you are in a messed up state of mind because you're always afraid that maybe you're not doing it right. Maybe something's bad is going to happen to you. So therefore, you have to have the initial motivation and then the both balanced relationship and attitude. So let's continue a little bit. Now we are continuing next section of this chapter, and we're saying that all of this that we said before, that when a Jew is properly motivated initially with the sense that I'm a servant of God, I'm a soldier in the army, and then is emotionally motivated, right, love of Hashem, and then is intellectually motivated, that the person thinks about, I don't want God to be disappointed in me, and so on and so forth. So you have Avas Hashem, love of God, Yiras Hashem, fear of God. You have Kabbalah Sol that precedes everything, the accepting the yoke of heaven to do the mitzvah that precedes the act. You're still incomplete. After all that, you're still incomplete. Your mitzvah that you've done now with accepting the yoke of heaven and love of God and fear of God and fear of disappointing Hashem in you and all wonderful, you're incomplete. Why are you incomplete? Because what's the purpose, the Alter Rebbe says, of doing mitzvahs? The purpose of doing mitzvahs is to draw spirituality into the world. That means Hashem created a world. Hashem created a universe. Hashem created all the cosmos, everything, in order to have Jews who are doing mitzvahs and revealing his presence in the world. That's why Hashem created the world. Why did Hashem create the world again? In order that there should be a situation where there is nature, where people can think that things run itself. But no, the Jew comes, and the Jewish nation comes, and we do mitzvahs, and we proclaim to the world, in language of the Torah, Ein Od Milvado, there is nothing else besides the Creator. Everything that you see is created by Hashem, given life by Hashem, not just at the time of creation, but constantly. And the Creator, therefore, demands our allegiance, demands our service, demands our connection. That's our job. Our job is to bring spirituality into the world. Again, bringing spirituality into the world means making the world recognize its Creator. That's our job. Now we understand logically again that if we just do this alone, and it's not something that we accomplish for the entire Jewish nation, and then by extension, then we're not doing the right job. So a person alone can be completely on board, completely illuminated, completely plugged in. But if your friends, your family, your community are not, then you haven't sufficiently illuminated the world. Our job is to make the whole world recognize the Creator. And the Alter Rebbe also says, and we're about to say here, that not only is it our job to illuminate the whole world, but we also should recognize and realize that unless we do the mitzvah with the energy that is the pooled energy of all of the Jewish nation, that mitzvah itself is an insufficient mitzvah. This is a very powerful concept that the Alter Rebbe is sharing with us here from the Zohar, the writings of the Arizal. And this is the following. In fact, the sages of blessed memory have said, a man should never separate himself from the community. Alter Rebbe says like this, on a literal level, it means that if you see people doing some kind of a positive act, you shouldn't stand on the side and say, let them do it. I don't want to be involved. No, get involved. Something good is happening. Make sure you're there too. You shouldn't be standoffish. You shouldn't be standing on the side. That's what it means literally. Now, the Rebbe says there's a much deeper meaning to this phrase at the same time. It means like this. It means that all of our neshamas, all of our souls come from where? Where do we get our soul from? From God. Hashem creates us. Where does Hashem, how does that work mechanically? So the mechanism is, according to the Zohar, that Hashem takes a certain amount of energy and puts it aside. And from that pool of energy, Hashem draws out individual bits and pieces. And each individual bit and piece of that energy becomes a soul. So what does that tell us? That we're all connected. Because if my soul and your soul and her soul and his soul and so on and so forth, every neshama of every Jewish person, we're talking now about special souls of the Jews, is coming and bits and pieces from a united pool of energy that Hashem had set aside to be the source of all the Jewish neshamas, of all the Jewish souls, and we're all connected. So really, because energy is always connected, it's only the physical world that things are separate, discrete, disconnected. But in the spiritual world, the world of energy, energy is always connected. So just because my neshama happens to be in my body, your neshama is in your body, and the other person's neshama is in their body, that doesn't mean anything. For the neshamas, the bodies, yes, there's disconnection. Clearly, that's the way it is. I can't eat for you, you can't eat for me, and so on. But when it comes to neshamas, I can do a mitzvah for you, and you can do a mitzvah for me. Because our neshamas were never severed from each other. Our souls were never disconnected from each other. Again, because when it comes to energy, energy is always connected. Energy, especially spiritual energy, is not physical in the sense that it becomes discrete, it becomes separate. If it was once connected, it's always connected. So if I do a mitzvah, you gain. If you do a mitzvah, I gave. So the Rebbe is explaining to us now that in addition to the motivational force of doing a mitzvah because of, again, because of Kabbalah's all, accepting the yoke of heaven like a slave with a servant is doing to a king and master, and then having the right attitude emotionally. I love Hashem, that's what I'm doing. I'm not fearful of disappointing Hashem. That's why I'm not going to mess up. And I'm going to do the mitzvah even if it's difficult as all. In addition to all that, we should also keep in mind that when we do a mitzvah, we are affecting not only ourselves, but the entire Jewish nation. And this is what Alter Rebbe says. This is the true deep inner meaning of this phrase from the Gemara, from the Talmud, that a person should never separate himself from the community. He should intend to unite and to attach him. Blessed be he, the source of his divine soul. You want to attach yourself to Hashem, and also to the source of your neshama, because this is the Shechina, the ultimate level of Shechina is, the Alter Rebbe explained, the source of all the neshamas. And the Shechina is, which is giving you power to utter the words of Torah, words of action. And this union is the source of Jewish souls with Hashem, which is attained through drawing forth the light of the Blessed Ein Sof by being occupied in Torah commandments. And you should be intent on drawing down this energy into your soul and into the souls of all the Jews, so as to unite them with him. We're going to be discussing, the Alter Rebbe says, what this means later, and we'll get into that later. But this, the Alter Rebbe says, is in fact the statement that we make at the beginning of our davening every day. There is a statement that is written into the Siddur, and we say this statement, and many people, not Chabad custom is to make the statement before doing almost any other mitzvah. Chabad custom is to say it only once a day. And that is to say that why am I doing this mitzvah? I am doing this mitzvah and I'm davening and I'm starting my day, which is going to be full of all kinds of wonderful mitzvahs my whole day. Why am I doing that? For the sake of the union of Kodesh Baruch Hu and Shechinta, meaning the two spiritual levels of Kodesh Baruch Hu and the level of Shechina, which is a Kabbalistic concept. The Alter Rebbe explains to us, explained this previously. What we're explaining here is, we spoke about this many times, but it is difficult concept, and that is that there is a structure of the energy and the pipeline. There's a structure of the pipelines that bring the energy down to the world, and then there is the energy inside the structure. So Hashem creates the world the way an architect would create a house, the way a contractor builds a house. You build a shell, and then you fill in the shell. If you want to have water in a kitchen, water in the bathroom, whatever it is, you put in pipes, and then you drill. You want to have electricity, you put in wires. You want to have just people live in a house, you build a shell, and then the people put in furniture inside. So the way the world works is that there is a structure, and that structure then gets filled in with whatever it is going to be happening there. Again, wires, electricity flows through, pipe, gas flows through, water flows through, house, fill up with furniture. That's the way it is. There's a structure, and there's vessels, so to speak, and there is the energy that is flowing through the vessels. The same exactly is true of the way Hashem creates the world. Hashem creates a structure. Again, we spoke about the structure of the four worlds, the four stages, the world of Atzilus, the world of Bria, the world of Yetzirah, the world of Asiya. In each of those four stages, there are 10 sefirot, Chachma, Bina, Das, and so on and so forth, 10 sefirot each level. This is the structure. But then there is the energy that flows through the structure in order to create different things in the higher world, spiritual worlds. Hashem creates angels. This lower physical world, Hashem creates an actual world. Our neshamas are energy. That's what our neshama is. What is a soul? A soul is energy. Which type of energy is the soul? So the soul is the limited amount of energy that Hashem puts into the structure. Because again, we understand that if you're going to have water or gas or electricity flow through pipes, or even if you can have furniture in a house, how big could the furniture be? No bigger than the house, right? You have a huge, huge double king-sized bed, but you have a regular bedroom. It doesn't fit. You have a larger bedroom and a larger bed. You have a larger pipe, you can have more water flow through. And the same is true of spiritual energy. If you have larger vessels, you have more energy. Smaller vessels, less spiritual energy. So when we talk about the word Shechina we talk about in a general terminology is Hashem's presence that comes down to the world. That's what Shechina means. And that means the energy that flows through the pipelines, the energy that is flowing through, the energy that is coming down to us. So again, when we talk about Shechina, we're talking about the energy that Hashem puts into the system, Hashem puts into the pipelines. The word Kutcha Brichu, which literally means the Holy One, blessed be He, is Kabbalistic shorthand, just like you say when we study physics, you study chemistry. There's terminologies. So there's a terminology. It's a Kabbalistic shorthand for the structure. So we want to unite Kutcha Brichu and Shechinta. What uniting is, again, Kabbalistic shorthand for increasing energy flow. So when we say we are uniting two things, what we really mean in the Kabbalistic sense is that we are increasing the flow of energy that was previously there by drawing. How do you increase energy? By drawing down energy from the greater pool that's before this level. So if you have a certain amount of, let's say, electricity flowing through your wires, you want more power, more juice. So you got to, bring more wires in. You have to bring, upgrade your panel. You want 100 amps, you want 200 amps now, different, more thing. You want 500, 1,000 amps. What are you, running a factory in your house? So you have to upgrade the system. So you can bring more from where? From the power plant. And that's what it is. So Hashem creates the world the same way. And when we do mitzvahs and we have in mind that not only are we doing the mitzvah for ourselves, but we're also doing the mitzvah in order to unite ourselves with the neshamas, with our fellow souls. That is like hooking up computers to each other. Then we have a supercomputer. So if you have one computer and one computer has a certain amount of computing power, but if you can hook two computers together, three computers, 10 computers together, now you have a supercomputer. That is what Hashem gives us, this gift. This gift of doing mitzvahs. Hashem says that if you're going to do the mitzvahs, and when you do the mitzvahs, you are having intention not only to do the mitzvah to elevate your soul, but to elevate the souls of all the Jews who are connected to you anyway, because, again, we all come from the same pool of ultimate pool of energy, that which we are here referring to as Shechina, and each soul is spiritual energy, and therefore spiritual energies never disconnect from each other because they're not physical to begin with. But so we become supercomputer. We become an ability to bring down amazing, amazing stuff. And that's why, that's what we're reading here, that person, by means of revelation of the supernal will, all Kabbalistic terminologies for Hashem's, unlimited levels of energy, that's called the supernal will, Ratzon HaElyon, the will of Hashem, a person, just like this, we say this, there's nothing that stands in front of a person that wants something. They'll climb mountains if you really, really want it. That's an analogy for Hashem's unlimited ability to do whatever it is. So if you want to bring down that level of energy, then you have to have this attitude that we are all connected all together. Let's continue a little bit more. In order this intent should be sincere, that his heart should truly draw this higher union, uniting all Jewish souls with their source in godliness. Your heart must harbor a great love. In other words, for a person to actually, we're saying these words that, we believe in the connectedness of all the souls, blah, blah, blah. But to really, really feel it, to really, really be on that level, you have to be on a very great level. So often loving another, as he explains here, is ultimately a result of self-love. Why do I love you? Because you're good to me. A person loves that which is good for him. The same is true with this love that we're saying, we're loving Hashem, desiring to cleave to him through the study of Torah, Purim, and Mitzvahs. Why am I loving Hashem? Because I get something out of it. But if a person on a very high level, when they're no longer thinking about themselves and they're absolutely not at all you know, on that level of selfishness, and which is, it takes a lot of work to get above, beyond yourself. So if you truly desire the unification of all Jewish souls with their source in God, then much deeper love is required. And this love is untainted by the faintest vestige of self-interest. This is a love which is wholly and exclusively directed toward Hashem. This is, as we said before, the love of a son, a child who strives for the sake of his father and mother, whom he loves more than his own body. We're going to be talking about this in the next few chapters. Nevertheless, even though it's not 100% true, Dalton Rebbe says, because we're not on that level, let's not fool ourselves that we're actually so selfless. No, we care about ourselves very much. But we should still pretend. We should practice, which is another way of saying pretending. A person should habituate himself to this attempt. You should say it in your mind. Because although it may not be perfect and complete truth, but to some small extent, you desire it. And now the Rebbe says, why is it completely true to some small extent? Because the nature of a Jew is to do what Hashem wants. Powerful statement. So that means, fake it till you make it. Alter Rebbe is actually going to use this terminology. Well, not exactly these words, because this is, you know, modern speak. Fake it till you make it. That means a person says, I'm doing the mitzvah. Why? Because I love God. I said, who am I kidding? I love God. I want to get a lollipop. I want to get my kids should be healthy. I want to get money in my bank account. I want to get, you know, whatever. I'm doing it for myself. Yeah, I'm doing the mitzvah, but I'm doing it for myself. Hashem says, that's fine. As long as you say you're doing it for me, I believe you. You're doing it for me. Even though, yeah, it's true in the back of your mind, you're thinking about all the stuff you're going to get, hopefully, out of doing these mitzvahs. But the fact of the matter is that there is an inborn love in every Jewish heart to do whatever is the supernal will of Hashem. A Jew wants to do what Hashem wants, and regardless of what we get. And the proof is, Alter Rebbe said previously in Tanya, that when a person is a terrible, terrible sinner, doesn't do any mitzvahs, but yet it comes to a situation where you have to give up your life to convert, some non-Jew is standing over you and saying, convert Islam with a sword, Christianity, or going to chop off your head. The Jew says, no, sorry, I'm a Jew. I'm connected. What are you connected? You don't do a mitzvah? No. Every Jew, the Alter Rebbe says, is clearly always connected because we have a neshama at the end of the day, and our neshama doesn't let us live. So our neshama, so to speak, live independently. Our neshama connects us. So to some small extent, and again, it's not such a small extent, his heart genuinely desires it because of the inborn love in every Jewish heart to do whatever is his eternal will. This union, therefore, which is the union of the source of all Jewish souls, meaning this thought that Alter Rebbe previously told us to have, that when we do mitzvahs, we should be thinking about uniting all the neshamas and all the source of the Hashem. And a person says, I'm not on that level. I'm thinking about neshamas. What are we kidding? No, no, no. This is your true desire. Your true desire, whether you know it or not, is that you want Hashem to be happy. And Hashem is happy when all the neshamas are together. Hashem is happy when all of us are doing mitzvahs together. So even if we don't think about it, even if we think about it and we say, this is not really me, and I'm just saying words, this is really me. Because we want that Hashem should be completely worshipped in the best possible way because of our neshama. Namely, the supernal union in the world of Atzilus, produced by the arousal from below, meaning from our own energy, our own efforts. We want all of these things so that the divine soul and God should become one reality. That's what we want. We want connectedness, the ultimate connectedness with Hashem. We don't want to live in this physical world. We want to be spiritual beings, even if we don't recognize it 100%. That's truly what we want. For the by reason of this, the source of the Torah is united with the source of the individual soul, which is called Shekhinah. Again, as I mentioned to you, when we say the word Shekhinah, we're talking about here specifically about the level of Shekhinah, the level of Hashem's energy that gives the, that forms the basis for the Jewish souls. And therefore, again, we spoke about this idea previously, which is another concept of the Mimali Kol Alman and Soviv Kol Alman, which means the energy that Hashem puts into the pipelines versus the energy that Hashem uses to create the structure. So our neshames are in the pipelines, meaning they're limited. The structure is where it's unlimited, and where it can get bigger and bigger and bigger. So that is our job. This is what every member of Israel desires in absolute utter truth, with all his heart, all his soul, because of the natural love that is hidden in every soul. But at the end of the day says, Hashem plants into us and creates us with a natural love, a natural desire, just like a child. Unless the kid gets completely messed up in some way by external forces, every child is born with the natural desire to make the parent happy. That's the way it is. Every parent has a natural connection to a child. That's the way it is. Because Hashem creates us, there is a natural love hidden in every Jewish heart. We cleave to Hashem, and not under any circumstances, I mentioned to you before, a person coming over, God forbid, and forcing you to convert, person says, no, I absolutely will not give up. I will fight to the last anti-Semitism, whatever it is. That's the motivator. That wakes up every Jew, because you said you're against my Jewishness. You call me a bad Jew. You don't want me to be a Jew anymore. No, I will fight you to the last ounce of my energy. No Jew wants to be parted or sundered, separated, God forbid, from Hashem. So therefore, the Alter Rebbe now goes and says that if a person thinks to himself, if you're ready to give up your whole life for Hashem, you're ready to leave this physical world that you have, you know, so much invested in. You know, so how about do it on a small level? How about do it for when it comes to studying Torah and doing mitzvahs? Being engaged in Torah and commandments also is an actual surrender of the soul. The Alter Rebbe explains to us here, and this is not the only place we can talk about it, that when a person wants something which is not Torah and mitzvahs, person wants to do something against what the Torah says, that is a very strong motivational something. It's really schlepping you. But if a person says, no, I'm going to give up that want, and I'm not going to do it because Hashem doesn't want me to do it, Torah doesn't want me to do it, that's called giving up your life for Hashem. That's called giving up your energy for Hashem. That's called giving up your whatever you are in favor of doing whatever your creator wants. The Alter Rebbe says, if you're ready to do that, in other words, if you have clarity that needs to be done and you're absolutely going to run, give up your life, if you're faced with conversion to, God forbid, to another religion, which is a complete cutoff, how about do it on a small level? Why do you have to wait for the big things? Do it on a small level. So being engaged in Torah and commandments is also a matter of actual surrender of the soul, just as when the body leaves at the end of 70 years. I'll never say 70 years, because that's what it says in the book of Tehillim, that an average lifespan used to be 70 years. Obviously today it's 120 or more, who knows? For then it does not think of bodily needs, but its thought is united with the enclosed letter of Torah, the words of the Torah of God. And this also is what the souls do in Gan Eden, in the Garden of Eden. Just as the soul in heaven has no other occupation besides Torah and mitzvahs, and Torah and prayer, not mitzvahs anymore, but in heaven is Torah and prayer. So too, a person occupied in Torah and prayer this world is immersed in it to the exclusion of all material needs and desires. And when you do that, you're renouncing materiality. You're totally surrendering your soul to Hashem. And this comes, again, because we have a natural love for Hashem that Hashem has implanted into our heart, just by the fact that we are born Jewish. So I think we'll stop with this for today, and we'll conclude. Still a little bit left to go, but we'll wrap up because there's a little bit of different concepts here that is, you know, really interesting concepts that Rebbe explains to us how every minute of every day is tied to a certain spiritual energy formation, and therefore it's important to do mitzvahs, and every time you do a mitzvah, you should have a different thing. So we'll talk about this Mirtz Hashem next time. But just to wrap up and to again sum up the chapter that we studied pretty much until now, we spoke about the foundational motivation for doing mitzvahs, which is accepting the yoke of heaven, the way an ox puts accepts the yoke of the plow of the wagon, the way a soldier accepts the king's command. That's the foundational motivation to do mitzvahs. Then we spoke about the idea that if you are just doing that and you don't have an emotional pull, your mitzvahs are not going to rise up and bring down the right amount of energy. And then we spoke about that if you're just thinking that you're doing mitzvahs for yourself, it's still not enough. You haven't brought as much spiritual energy as it's possible to do. You can't be a computer for yourself. You got to become a supercomputer by connecting with all the other computers, meaning your neshama has to connect with all the neshamas of all the Jewish people. And we said that if that's the ultimate goal, is that all the Jews together should do mitzvahs together, and then we are bringing down incredible, incredible levels of energy. We're increasing the level of Shechina, the level of Shechina that we said that Hashem's resting in this world, which is the source of all the neshamas. We are adding energy to that pool of energy by A, doing mitzvahs, and B, doing mitzvahs with the intention and with the thought that we should be elevating all the neshamas, all the souls, not just ourselves. Alter Rebbe said, if a person thinks I'm not on this level, who am I to even fool myself and say this is why I'm doing mitzvahs? I'm doing mitzvahs because I want to, you know, I want blessings. I want good things in my life. I'm not thinking about the whole Jewish nation. Alter Rebbe says, no, you are a Jew. You have this gift that you received. And the gift you received from Hashem upon being created as a Jew is that you want to make God happy. And Hashem is not happy unless all the Jews are together, united, and so on and so forth. So yes, you really do want this, even though you may not realize it. Even though maybe you're living life a little bit cognitive dissonance, you may not be living your life according to what you really want. But we're all like that. We all want to be healthy and we eat bad stuff. We all want to be wealthy, and we waste our money on all kinds of things that if a person thinks about. So why do we act in it? Because cognitive dissonance. We don't know. We have Yetzirah. We don't act the way we understand. The Alter Rebbe says to the Jew, which is each and every one of us, don't fool yourself. You're really amazing. You are really, don't put yourself down. You have this inborn love for Hashem, and you fake it till you make it. If you keep on thinking about it, you will be on that level. And not only that, but at the end of the chapter, the Alter Rebbe says this is something that is done throughout each day multiple times because there's different energies for each hour of the day. Talk about next time. And eventually we're going to talk about the various levels in the coming chapters of the love for Hashem, the fear for Hashem that we're referencing here. What are these levels, and how can we ordinary humans reach these levels that seem to be only great, great tzaddikim can reach.